Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I'm your host, Roger Z. As always, I'm so glad to be presenting live music to the White Plains and Westchester area public. And I was chatting with these fellows before. I'm actually so glad to be interviewing two guys whose names I just can't seem to forget. So that's awesome. Chris Burke. Last show you did, you were on the keyboards. You're Mr. Versatility. Now you're on the bass. And we've got my friend, Mr. Kung Fu, Richard Kelly, on the guitar. And I'm not kidding. He is a world-renowned martial artist. Don't mess with this guy. I have to have you come down to my school. I was talking to my master about you.
Oh, cool. I would love to do that.
Because I always trained in Taekwondo, but you moved on. Anyway, you usually play bass, but now you're playing guitar this show.
Yes.
Now you're going to play guitar both songs? Or?
No, we're going to switch, actually.
Okay. Yeah, how could I forget that? I just sat through the sound check. It's amazing. Okay, so I know you guys from the Jeff Hartwell Band. The Jeff Hartwell Band was originally Jeff, you, and Michael Bram, who was on our show a couple of weeks ago with his act. So it's great that you guys are moving and grooving and going onward. As I mentioned before, as we speak, he's playing in Australia with Jason Mraz. I don't know who he is, but my daughter goes, "Wow, Dad, that's awesome." but I don't know if she's pulling my leg or not. Actually, I think she really likes Jason Mraz, so that's an awesome thing. So we were talking about making a living playing music in Westchester, and Chris, you had the joy of giving my daughter piano lessons.
I did, yes.
And I got to tell you, she loved you.
Yeah, we had, she's a cool kid. She was getting, I think, as you were saying before, it's hard to get kids to practice a lot these days. But if you can, then it's something. I mean, I identify with a lot of kids that I teach that aren't incredibly enthusiastic about taking the lessons, because when I was a kid taking piano lessons, I actually hated it, and I would complain to my parents every week and say, "Why are you spending money on something every week that I don't even enjoy?" And everyone else was allowed to quit. My other brothers were allowed to quit. I had a grandmother who was also a piano teacher and a church organist, so there were a lot of musicians in the family. And she kind of called the shots. She said I displayed something. I don't know what it was.
She saw something in you.
Yeah, which I don't know how she did, because I was a pretty terrible student as a kid. There were kids 4 years younger than me that were a lot further ahead than I was. But then, probably around sixth or seventh grade, I found out that with what I had retained through my piano lessons, that I could play like the Doors, who I was infatuated with. Like all I would listen to. So when I found that I could play Break On Through, that was actually, I was just going to sound cheesy, but that was a breakthrough.
There's not much keyboard in that. It's more like a da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da.
You know, the little solo. It was stuff I could play, and I could do both hands, and it was like, wow, that's the bass player and the organ player all together in the band, because there was no bass player.
So when I was growing up, it's you had to play da 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 da.
Yeah, well, I learned that too. I went on. I learned them all actually, because it was fun. And then you're in seventh grade, and the piano in the gym during lunch, you start playing like the Riders on the Storm solo, and then girls start paying attention.
Ah.
And then a light bulb goes off.
The light bulb goes off.
Maybe there's something to this.
Cool, but I mean, how do you deal? How do you deal with people like my daughter who smile at you and yes you to death, but don't put a lot of effort into their... You know they're not really practicing.
Well, you have to give them... sometimes you have to just give them... You have to find what it is that they really like to play. I mean, they're still probably going and sitting down at a piano. They may not practice what they're supposed to be practicing or with good technique, but they still... Most kids still understand that there's a lot of fun that they can have with playing it, so you have to kind of find what it is that they would be playing on their own and find a way to work in whatever it is you're trying to teach them with something that they can still have fun with, which is not always easy, because a lot of kids don't know what it is that they would like. You can't ask the average 12-year-old, you know, what do you want to learn? They say, I don't know, you know. But you find something that they get that they like, then it's a little easier to find more things that...
When my daughter had that one classical song, that was the Beethoven thing.
Oh, yeah. We might have done one of the preludes with her. Honestly, I can't remember. But, yeah, there was one that she liked, and she thought it sounded pretty, and that she practiced and got down. So it's a matter of finding what they like. But you can't let them run the show either.
Well, you seem like a pretty mellow dude, so you don't seem to get burned out by week after week of them not doing anything.
No.
What about you? What about you?
What about me?
Yeah, you.
Well, I find that, I'm sure Chris could also tell you, you're asking specifically about making a living as a musician in Westchester, that, I gig probably 5 or 6 nights a week, and you have to be really versatile. Like, I play bass in a lot of bands. I also do like solo acoustic gigs. I have to teach students. I mean, you got to do a lot to make a living as a musician, unless you can get on a tour or something like that. But I found that the Westchester music scene is like, there's a lot of great outlets. Like, there's open mics, there's blues jams, which, we play in, which is how we met you. There's really ways to network, to meet other great musicians, and a lot of people just have a great attitude. And, through the blues and jazz and rock, after a couple of years, everybody knows each other and everybody works with each other and keep each other working.
Cool. So you ready to play some tunes for us?
Absolutely.
They told me not to move out of the shot this show, so I ain't moving. Somebody all over you, Rich.
All right.
Want to introduce this song?
Yes. This song is called Awake. We actually, when we first got together, I wrote this song a little over a year ago, but we haven't played it in 6 months, but I thought it would be a fun one to do on the show, so we rehearsed it, and we're going to play it for you now.
So
Cool.
Thank you.
So what's next, guys? Swapsies?
Yeah, I guess we'll switch.
Absolutely.
Do this gracefully.
Thank you, Roger.
It's all part of the deluxe service here.
Yeah, we really want to thank you for having us on. This is a great thing.
Yeah.
Thanks to
welcome.
Everybody else.
Everybody's doing it for love.
Clean fun. Okay, so I guess the working title for this song, what do we call it? The
Summer's Over.
Oh, Summer's Over, that's right.
Yes.
Sorry.
Another uplifting tune, huh?
Yeah, seem to be good at that. This one is, it's pretty much about summer being over and trying to get somebody to come back home that left home and went away, presumably to the desert. Simple enough. Okay, you ready?
Turn it on. I don't know.
smile. You yes. made my day.
Some weird lines in there.
Well, I love non sequiturs, you know, just lines that come out of, your name is Pam, but I would call you, I'm sure you're going to say something like Jane. And I love it. I'll even get your lazy brother a job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great songwriting, I believe. Something that just comes out of the speaker and just grabs you.
Yeah, that's actually the song, I think, probably started with the line, if your blonde hair were blue, I would still love you, but I wouldn't like your hair that much. It just kind of came to me in the car as like a nice but weird way to say you love somebody. And then, yeah, kind of followed from there, I guess.
How did that work out? Did she ever come back from the desert?
No, she didn't come back from the desert. She's still on the other side of the Continental Divide. No, that's not a real person. Actually, nobody went to the desert.
Okay, good. That's even better.
But you went with it.
Yeah. I was prepared to make up a lie about it being a real person, but it was going to get dicey, so.
I you know, I'm one of my recent desires is I really want to write novels. But I don't feel like I know enough about people or I'm social enough to get like a bunch of characters together. But I'm beginning to think you don't have to. You can be like you, just make it up.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that's pretty much what I do. Yeah, I mean, it's all based on, obviously, you have to have the emotion in there somewhere of somebody leaving and wanting them to come back, but.
I think like 20 years ago, I wrote this musical called Rock and Roll Vampire, and I had the whole play. I had all these songs written, but I wasn't like Madonna. I just wasn't forceful. I wasn't killer. I wasn't out there trying to sell it.
Right.
And I think really that's almost the only way you're going to make it these days.
Yeah. Well, depending on what you define as make it, too. I mean, different musicians, I think, have different goals. But yeah,
true.
If you want to end up like Madonna, then you're probably going to need a considerable amount of drive.
Yeah, I just saw her induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it was the weirdest thing. She had Iggy and the Stooges play two of her songs. I don't know if you know Iggy Pop.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the weird. I didn't know he was doing Madonna songs. It was just it was fantastic. I mean, I give her so much credit if she arranged that. But anyway, let's get back to our canned questions. What I wanted to ask you guys is, if you could throw together, like, you know, a couple of sets, maybe with different players, living or dead, you know, I mean, for example, for me, I would have loved to have been the bass player in the Doors.
The job was available.
Well, I mean, in the studio, they had Doug Wimbish playing
right.
the bass, so I mean, maybe the bass player with the Stones, but anyway, enough about me. I mean, you can be part of a band, you could have Living the Dead. Rich, you.
Yes.
Who would you like to play with?
Well, I would actually choose a lot of the 90s guys who... you know, who I remember.
Name the names.
I would love to play with either Dave Abbruzzese or Jimmy Chamberlain on the drums.
Jimmy Chamberlain was from... He was the guy who was thrown out of Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
And that was the only other original member.
Yes. Maybe Steve Perkins. It's Jane's Addiction.
Okay.
And Dave Abbruzzese was the second drummer for Pearl Jam. And he... You know, he only played with them for one album, and I was like, he was like the greatest drummer in the world. I was like, why'd you guys get rid of Dave Abbruzzese? You know, and he would help them with songwriting. I mean, he was really like a creative element of Pearl Jam. And guitar players, I really like Eric Krasno. I'd love to do some playing with him. He plays with Soul Live.
Oh, okay, yeah. I actually have one of their records.
I'm not sure how he would play with them, so I guess if I was playing with them, I would want Dave Navarro. There's so many great musicians, it's hard to like. I would love to play with Dave Navarro.
Well, you could put together multiple sets. That's set one. Who would set two be?
So, yeah, I would say, you know, Dave Navarro and maybe Jimmy Chamberlain. And and for vocals, I think I'd be pretty happy singing myself. Maybe get Paul McCartney in there.
Do the high part.
Yeah, why not? I like his voice.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit back. I want you to put together another group of people in your head while we go to Mr. Burke.
All right.
Okay.
Mr. Burke.
I guess I would lean more towards what are probably obvious answers from the guys from the big bands, the bands from the 60s, because that was, I stole all my father's Who records and Rolling Stones records and the Doors and the Beatles and all that stuff, you know, by the time I was in like second or third grade. So they're all tough decisions, but I think John Bonham on the bass, on the drums.
On the bass drums.
Yeah, exactly. Just because he's just a manic, but it's, you know, I don't need to explain to anybody what John Bonham does with a drum kit. And also, he would probably be a lot of fun on the road.
Think you could drink him under the table?
No, definitely not. I think he could take some of the attention off the rest of the guys in the band.
Who else?
On bass, I would say John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin, but if you have him in the band, he'd bring so much to the table with his keyboard playing too. I'd kind of like to reserve that realm for myself.
Yeah, you say, John, sorry, I hired you to play the bass. Right?
But, that lets us bring in John Entwistle, who that was, I actually, as far as like a band concept was concerned, when I was in, you know, middle school and high school, I wanted to be the bass player in the band, and that's actually what I was playing in bands first before the keys, because we didn't have a bass player, and the piano player is expendable, but you have to have a bass player. And I just remember hearing, you know, stuff like My Generation for the first time and saying, what was that? That just did that. There was nothing else I'd ever heard that sounded like it. And my
father, you mean the bass solo?
Yeah, I just, and it's playing the whole way through. I mean, it was like it filled in. It was like having a second guitar that sounded a lot cooler than a guitar, and also drove the whole song. And so take Entwistle on the drums, for a front man and a songwriting partner, going kind of a different direction, and I'll bring in Elvis Costello. I don't know how he's going to jive with the rhythm section, but that's not for me to worry about. Because his songwriting is, he just has that style of writing where it sounds like he's a guy that has been studying like theory and harmony of pop music his whole life, and hasn't, you know, he's just one of those guys that, from what I can gather from interviews with him and things like that, he just hears like beautiful changes in his head, and he's also been proven to be a really good collaborator. You know, he writes with Burt Bacharach, his wife is Alison Krauss, he's done stuff with her, and his voice is awesome. But I want the angry Elvis Costello from like the early years.
I liked his first album. I was okay with the second and third, and then that was it with him. Well, I loved, you know, his original album with Allison. That was Huey Lewis and the News. That was them backing him up, and those guys could really play.
Right. Yeah, they were more of the new wave thing. I mean, I like all his records. And I like his singing too, and his. But especially the angry Elvis Costello.
Well, you know, when you make that first million, it gets harder to stay angry.
Yeah.
He was a computer programmer, so that's what I do. So,
okay.
I don't think he's married to Alison Krauss. I think it's the jazz singer. Alison Krall, I think.
Yeah, that's who you're right. Is it Allison? Is that her first name?
I don't. Something Crawl.
Confused. But he's married to some chick that sings things.
So you're gonna come back? You're gonna come back and name
some
players?
Sure. I mean, the first one was a rock band, and you know, when I'm like a rock band, I like, you know, like bands that write songs together, like Jane's Addiction and stuff like that, which is why I went in that direction. But I would also be interested in being in a groove jazz situation with John Medeski, and it might be a little over the top with Dennis Chambers. And Schofield, I guess.
That'd be cool.
BB.
I'll play that band.
Any last thoughts, guys? Any things you want to say to young musicians out there? What would you tell them in one sentence, secret to your success?
My success.
You got 10 seconds.
Preparation, though, we use that.
Not preparation, it's just preparation.
Yes, preparation.
Start you? Writing songs now.
All right. Rich Kelly, Chris Burke, The Track. Thank you, guys.
We're up.
We're up.